May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 764. How sad our state by nature is, our sin how deep it stains, and Satan binds our captive mind fast in his slavish chains. 764.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read the book of the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3. Woe to her that is filthy and polluted, to the oppressing city. She obeyed not the voice, she received not correction. She trusted not in the Lord, she drew not near to her God. Her princes within her are roaring lions, her judges are evening wolves. They gnaw not the bones till the morrow. Her prophets are light and treacherous persons. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The just Lord is in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light. He faileth not, but the unjust knoweth no shame. I have cut off the nations, their towers are desolate. I made their streets waste, that none passeth by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, that there is none inhabitant. I said, surely thou wilt fear me, thou wilt receive instruction, so their dwellings should not be cut off, howsoever I punish them. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Therefore, wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord, to serve him with one consent. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my suppliants, even the daughter of my dispersed, shall bring mine offering. In that day shalt thou not be ashamed for all thy doings, wherein thou hast transgressed against me. For then I will take away out of the midst of thee them that rejoice in thy pride, and thou shalt no more be haughty because of my holy mountain. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies. Neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil any more. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear thou not, and to Zion let not thine hands be slack. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will get them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. At that time will I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you, for I'll make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, oh, do come, we beg, and grant us the aid of thy Spirit now. Lord, without thee we can do nothing. Oh, leave us not without thee. Oh, we beg thou wouldst come. Lord, it hath pleased thee to gather us together once more around thy word. Oh, we do pray there may be a gracious purpose in it. Lord, and this must be all of thee. And that is how we would desire to have it. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that each one of us may lose sight of ourselves and of each other. We may see no man save Jesus only. Oh, what a favoured hour it would be. May it be so. Lord, that we may know thee and the power of thy resurrection and the fellowship of thy sufferings, be made conformable to thy death, that we may truly be crucified with thee, Lord. We cannot live with thee otherwise. For Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Lord, we beg for the forgiveness of our sins. We pray for true godly sorrow. Lord, do make us really to feel them. Leave us not to hardness. Leave us not, Lord, to lip confession. Oh, we do pray for, Lord, for the grace of godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance, to salvation, not to be repented of. Lord, do make us very tender in thy fear. Oh, we pray that thou wouldst quicken the dead in sins into life in such a way as they shall see sin where they never saw it before and feel it and mourn over it. And Lord, flee by the teaching of the Spirit, by faith to the Saviour of sinners, that are able to do this even this evening, if it please thee. Lord, it is evident thou didst convince of sin that thief on the cross and pardon his sins in such a short space of time. So great is thy power, for thou art God, and there is none else. And Lord, we pray for thy living people. And Lord, the days of their youth are past. The time of their espousals, when they went after thee in a dry and thirsty land. Lord, thou knowest where they are now. Lord, so often, if one may confess, rather, Lord, backsliding. Oh, do deliver us. Oh, bring us back to the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Make us as little children in spirit. Make us men in knowledge. Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant that childlike trust. Lord, that we might look up to thee for all. Lord, do grant everything that thou didst mean when thou didst say, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst this evening glorify thy great name in the salvation of sinners, in the making fruitful of the barren, in causing the barren woman to keep house, to be a joyful mother of children. Oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst grant that abiding in thee, by thy abiding in us, that we bear much fruit. Lord, some of us feel so often to be, fear we're quite out of the secret, because we do not bear fruit. Oh Lord, we pray that thou wouldst, oh, if we are deceived, do undeceive us. Lord, that thou wouldst grant that we may indeed be fruit-bearing branches. Lord, leave us not to a form of godliness that denies the power thereof. Lord, save us from our formality. Oh, how it besets us. Lord, we cannot do anything else. Lord, for thou canst. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst thyself come. For, Lord, there is no formality with thee. There is no hypocrisy with thee. There is no guile in thy mouth. Thou art truth. Thou art holiness. Thou art righteousness. Thou art wisdom. Thou art love. Lord, thou art mercy, thou art grace, Lord, thou art justice, Lord, thou art all, oh, make thyself to us. And we pray for thy people that have come in here, Lord, not feeling to be thy people perhaps, but Lord, thine all the same, Lord, the poor in spirit, thou said they are thine. They are blessed. They who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, they are blessed. They who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, they are blessed. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst grant to the hungry and thirsty a filling time. Fill them with that feast of fat things, of good things full of marrow, wine on the lees well refined. Oh, the gospel feast. Do take the yoke off their jaws and lay meat unto them. And oh, Lord, we pray to grant the resurrection power to those who've come in feeling dead. Lord, speak the word of life. Thou said, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, say it, Lord, thy people may believe on thee and know it, He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Lord Jesus, oh, speak in such a way as we should believe on thee. Oh, grant if it would please thee that measure of faith, there should be joy and peace in believing. And Lord, we pray for the instruction of thy people. Lord, to this end we do pray for thy Spirit. Pour into the heart and open the door of utterance of one that might be instead an instructing ministry. Lord, who teacheth like thee? We cannot learn thy truths, Lord, as schoolboys learn their task. Natural intelligence is not enough. Lord, we need faith. Oh, we need thy Spirit then, that the word may be with power, that we shall understand in our heart by faith what thou sayest and what thou meanest. Oh, that thou wouldst open unto us the Scriptures and open the eyes of our understanding that we might understand the Scriptures. And Lord, that we might have an applied word. Oh Lord, leave us not. Oh, leave us not, Lord, we pray. To sit under the sound of the word, and as it were, that word to go past us again and again and again. But may, as the prophet of old said, the word of the Lord came expressly unto me. Lord, we read of one, and he heard that Jesus of Nazareth passed by. And Lord, he was given faith so that he would not let thee pass by. For he cried, Lord, and we read, thou didst stop. Lord, we would cry in that same way. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, that I might receive my sight, that I might see thee, Lord, by living faith. Oh, that will put everything right. Oh, we pray for it. Do grant us then this blessed simplicity that is in Christ. Bless this people. Lord, undertake for them each in the path they now walk. Lord, redeem Jacob and ransom him from the hand of him that is stronger than he. Lord, thou seest where thy people are, where Satan holds his sway, where he has erected his throne, and he reigns, the strong man armed. Oh, come, Lord, thou art God. Thou art the Son of Man, who didst through becoming the Son of Man conquer the devil, destroy him that had the power of death, come and conquer in us. And Lord, we pray for those who even now are like that woman's daughter, grievously vexed with the devil. Help their parents, Lord, and those that bear them in their hearts, Lord, yet to go unto Jesus. Have mercy on me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Lord, cast him out. We do beseech thee. And all we do pray for Zion, thou wouldst deliver her at this time than forever from all the deceit of the devil. In our own hearts, that work of the devil, man's fallen nature, in Satan's image born, and Lord, those deceits, that guile, those false prophets he sends, even in thy name, Lord Jesus, he sends them. But they come in Satan's name, really. Lord, we pray, open our eyes. Grant us that discernment. Lord, give us that godly fear. Give us that faith, Lord. Oh, give us that wisdom to discern right from wrong. Oh, give us grace to try the spirits, whether they be of God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. Oh Lord, we pray for that spirit. May we have that spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, the Spirit of Christ in us, as a proof that he is come in the flesh, that God might dwell with man upon earth. Lord, oh, we pray then for this witness, that we are indeed thine, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We do pray, Lord, that thou wouldst revive thy work in our hearts and in others. We pray, Lord, for the restoration of the waste places, the making of the wilderness to rejoice and blossom as the rose. Lord, that once again godly fear might flourish, living faith, true repentance. Lord, a gracious separation in spirit, that sanctification. Set apart, Lord. Oh, set us apart from this world, Lord, as only thou canst. And oh, for that love. Oh, iniquity abounds, and the love of many has waxed cold. Lord, oh, how ours does. Oh, we pray thou hast warmed these hearts. Purge us from our iniquity. Thou wilt deliver us from coldness, Lord. The purging in thy sin-atoning sacrifice. Oh, how that would warm the cold heart. Nothing less will do it. We seek for thee, young, thy blessing, thy kind and watchful care and provision and help, perfect that which concerneth them for time and for eternity. Open right doors for them, grant them help to walk in the way thou hast set before them. Lord, help them to seek thee above all else. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst be the guide of their youth, that they and we might be led forth by that right way, we might go to a city of habitation. Lord, that we might at last be found grain gathered into the heavenly garner. Oh, do bring us to our end, Lord, as a shock of corn, not a tear, cometh in his season. Oh, to be well laid in the grave with a good hope of resurrection unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself, to heal the afflicted. Thou understandest all disorders of the mind and the body and the soul. Thou art that blessed infinite physician. Speak the word only and they shall be made whole. Grant grace, Lord, to bear the afflictions that must remain. Sanctify them, we do pray. Let them bring us nearer to thee. Lord, let them stain our cursed pride. Lord, let them take away those false props. Lord, and bring us to thyself. And the bereaved, Lord, sanctify to them their loss. Oh, that they might be favoured with the company of the friend of sinners in the absence of their loved ones after the flesh. Lord, do help. Bless each of thy servants that labour in thy name. Strengthen and help them this night. Bless thy word through them and to them. We commend to thee absent ones. There are many, Lord, in this congregation and others, Lord, at this time away, seeking rest and change. We seek thy watchful care over them each and thy blessing. Oh, Lord, we pray firstly for the blessing of their never dying soul. Oh, thou dost say to thy people, say it to them, come with me from Lebanon. Ah, Lebanon, the glory of the creation, come with me from there to behold that scene of matchless grace. God in the person of his Son has all his mighty works outdone. We thank thee for all thy mercies, for health and strength in the measure appointed, daily food and water, clothing and shelter, and the relative peace in which we live, the bounty of thy goodness. But above all, Lord, for thy unspeakable gift, thy dear Son, go on to be gracious, pardon what we've asked wrongly, make up in giving where we fail to ask. We would plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 787. Come, poor sinners, come away. In meditation sweet, let us go to Golgotha and kiss our Saviour's feet. Let us in his wounded side wash till we every whit are clean. That's the fountain opened wide for filthiness and sin. 787.
Thank you.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you to the book of the prophet Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 12. Zephaniah, chapter 3, verse 12. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. The work of God, I will. He is God and there is none else. The only work upon this earth that is really good. A perfect work. Oh, to have an interest in it. Oh, to be one of these. Left by God. That is, not consumed, not carried away with all the deceit and guile of the adversary, but preserved by God. Left. Like that little remnant that was left in the days of the prophet Ezekiel in the vision that he saw. Jerusalem was beset with sin. But there was a remnant there. And they sighed and they cried for the abominations done in the midst. When God went forth with his sword, as he will, the day of the Lord cometh. Things aren't always going to remain as they are now. Judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, but it is executed surely. But in that vision, God showed Ezekiel that man with an ink horn at his side, and he marked. He was instructed to put a mark in the forehead of all those that sighed and cried for the abominations done in the midst, in his own heart and in Jerusalem. And when God sent forth the slaying servants, he said, come not near any man on whom is the mark, and begin at my house. I read earlier today, again that word, judgment must begin at the house of God. It must. And I believe it is true to say, that God is more angry with the sins of the church than with the sins of the world. And that's not my opinion. It is the word of God. Jesus said to Bethsaida, Capernaum, where the Lord's mighty works were done, it should be taught more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for thee. Say not in thine heart, we have Abraham to our father. God is able of these stones to make children unto Abraham. Bring forth fruits meet, answerable to repentance. This is the judgment that begins at the house of God. The judgment of the word of God when he comes and searches Jerusalem with candles. You see, on that occasion, in the vision that Ezekiel saw, God came and searched Jerusalem with candles. And he wasn't searching for those who made a profession. He wasn't searching for those who had the words of truth on their lips. He wasn't searching for those who dressed in a particular way. He searched for those who had an inward work, a work in their heart, the work of God in their heart. And if the work of God is in your heart, you will, like those people, sigh and cry for the abominations done in the midst. Why will you? Because if the work of God is begun in your heart, you have the Spirit of Christ in you. And that's the secret of this people in this verse, who the prophet says, or the Lord by the prophet, they are a poor and an afflicted people. It's poverty of spirit. It's the affliction of Jacob. Now that's a divine thing. Man by nature cannot be poor in spirit. He can be poor in circumstances. He is poor in Adam. He's bankrupt. But that doesn't give him a poor spirit. That doesn't make him poor in spirit. Oh, what is man left to himself without the Spirit of God in him? Despite his extreme poverty, his bankruptcy, his ruin, despite the fact that he is without God and without hope, despite the fact that he has in his heart hatred, enmity against God, despite the fact that he is bound for hell, he is proud, he is self-righteous. He looks down on others. He thinks he does so well and thinks he'll never be sent to hell. But the poor in spirit greatly fears he will be sent to hell. The poor in spirit justifies God. If my soul were sent to hell, thy righteous Lord proves it well. I will also leave in the midst of thee. I'll also leave in the midst of thee. So it's set forth as a people in the midst of a people. It is so in the earth, a very little remnant in the midst of others. Oh, the Lord knows where they are. He is infinite. As he looks down upon this earth today, there's not one that is not in his sight. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And they're in the midst. Yes, and the Lord Jesus spoke this, didn't he, to his Father in John 17. He said, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They're in the midst. But they're separate. They're separate. Now, in certain respects, the grace of God separates them physically. That is, where grace reaches their heart, they cannot go in the company they once went in. After the pleasures of this world. But they still have to go and work among those same men. But when the day's work is finished, they don't go with those men to the places of amusement. And when they are in those places of work, when the grace of God is working in their heart, they are separate. Not a holier-than-thou separation, a proud separation, but, oh, a different heart, a different spirit. Why? And of course this applies also, this word, in the midst of thee. In the midst of the professing church, there is a possessing church. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus set this forth. You see, in that parable of those servants of the husbandman, they saw tares growing up among the wheat. When that wheat and those tares were growing in the early stages, they couldn't be differentiated. But as it came nearer the harvest time, then the change, then the difference became apparent. And the servants said to their master, "There are tares in the wheat. Who hath done this?" And he said, "An enemy hath done this." But God sovereignly permitted the enemy to do it. Just as an aside, as it comes now, my dear friend, shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Oh, for the fear of the Lord concerning all that takes place in our life, this would not have happened but for the permission of God. Well, those servants went forth and said to their master, "Let us pull up the tares, Lord." And he said, "Not so, lest in pulling up the tares, you pull up the wheat also. Let them both grow together until the harvest, and then gather the tares in bundles and burn them in the fire, and gather the wheat into my barn." This congregation is like that field. Oh, I hope it may be that there are no tares here, but the Lord knows. But the truth of the Lord set forth is this, that no one should take confidence from the fact that they haven't left chapel. No one should take confidence from the fact that the Lord hasn't, as it were, rooted them up already. Because he sets forth that he will leave them rooted right to the end, till the time of the harvest. And of course, what was the difference between the tares and the wheat when it came to the harvest? The tares had no grains of corn in them. They bore none of the fruits of the Spirit. Now I mention in prayer the solemn conviction that the Lord's people often have of their barrenness. Now it will not save us to have that conviction of our barrenness. What we need is that deliverance from our barrenness. What we need is for the Holy Spirit to lead us to Christ, as the Lord, the Holy Spirit, led Hannah to Christ. This is especially so in the day in which we live, where for the most part, the church on earth the part that I'm aware of anyway, is in a very barren state. And how often we hear it lamented. But does the Lord hear it lamented? Does the Lord see his Jeremiahs yet in this day who weep day and night for the affliction of the daughter of his people? We talk about the barren, impoverished state of Zion. And you know, it's one of the snares we can become ensnared in. I know it from my own experience. We become more concerned about the poverty of Zion at large than our own poverty. We read about this and we read about that. We've heard of the assaults of the adversary Satan in those rulers that make those wicked laws, and those even worse rulers that tyrannise the people that fear God. But oh, you see, we've got enemies much closer home than that. It isn't the Pope of Rome that we need fear. It's this Pope in our own heart. It isn't those terrorists of whatever religious persuasion they be that we really need fear. Jesus said, fear not them that kill the body and have no more that they can do, but fear him who hath power to cast into hell. One sin is enough to cast our soul into hell, and we have millions of them. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. The omission of the law of God is sin, as well as the commission of the breach of that law. Oh, one thing is needful, said the Lord Jesus to Martha. One thing is needful. She sat at Jesus' feet, the one who fulfilled the law for his people. She sat at his feet. Moses said, didn't he, in Deuteronomy, everyone shall receive of his words. That's the one thing needful. I will also leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. There are three things then in this text, three characteristics of these people. In the context of the parable I've spoken of, three characteristics then of the true wheat. Firstly, they're afflicted. Some of them are bodily afflicted, but that's not what the text speaks of in particular, because that is not a distinguishing feature of the wheat. The tares have diseases as well as the wheat. This affliction is a spiritual affliction. It is an affliction of soul. It is the affliction of sin in all its symptoms. Can there be any worse disease than that? No. Every other disease may kill your body. Sin will kill your soul. The eternal death that sin effects, which only the Saviour who died to conquer death and conquer the disease of sin can deliver a poor sinner from, an afflicted. Why, they are given then the Spirit of God. They are quickened into life to feel this affliction. It isn't just talking about affliction. It isn't just talking about sin. You know, the people who in public confess their sinnership most, almost invariably in private confess their sins least. If you're really afflicted with sin, you'll keep quiet about it in public, because it will be such a bitter thing. And you will realise that part of the affliction is that you have such a wicked heart that thinks it is good to confess your sins in public, thinks it is good for other people to hear you say, what a sinner I am. But those who really feel it, in the Lord's time they're brought, like Hannah was, to pour out their soul before the Lord, and afflicted with sin, the guilt of it. The Lord sends his arrows, and we read in the word they are strong in the heart of his enemies. These people realize they have a nature which is an enemy to God, enmity to him. And what an affliction that is to their living soul. Their affliction is when they would do good, evil is present with them. Their affliction is a fatal affliction. There is no remedy for it but the precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. It is an affliction that no human medicine can cure. The sting of sin then in their conscience, though it is not constantly felt, the Lord who makes them feel it will bring them to feel it and feel it and feel it until he brings them to feel it no more. When through the application of the blood of Jesus Christ they get that cure. Vain was bandage, oil and plaster, rankling venom spread the faster, till the serpent Moses took, raised upon a pole. That's the way, says God, I choose to save. An afflicted is an affliction that is an affliction of death. That is, there is a sentence of death in it. They look around. I remember one man telling me when he was called by grace in his young days and he realized his father and his mother, though they made a profession of religion, they were as ignorant as he was. But he felt to be ignorant, but they didn't know it. There's a difference, you see. I live in the midst of the afflicted and poor people. An affliction is a painful thing. If your sins have never been made a painful thing, so painful, you know, sometimes in our bodies we have painful things. We can't forget those pains. If we try to use the reliefs that God may sometimes bless, pain relief, sometimes those pains are too great for those pain reliefs to have any effect. So these people have the pain of sin. These afflictions are also disabling things. Lays him low. He can't see, he's blind. He can't hear, he's deaf. He can't feel, he's feelingly dead. He can't walk right, he's completely lame. He can't move spiritually. He can't breathe, he can't pray. He can't believe, he can't repent. This affliction is a completely disabling affliction. If your affliction hasn't yet come to that point where you're made to feel completely disabled by it, that is, if you think you can still do one thing right, the Lord has yet to deepen the sense of your affliction. An affliction of a hard heart, an affliction of an unbelieving heart, an affliction of worldly affections, an affliction of unbelief, an afflicted. An afflicted. One part of this affliction is the assaults of the adversary. Oh, how afflicted by Satan the Lord's servant Job was. God gave him permission. How afflicted by Satan Peter was. Again, God gave him permission. What is the affliction? Bondage. The binding power of Satan. Satan binds our captive minds fast in his slavish chains. The temptations of the devil. Oh, do you know the afflictions? The injection of wicked, blasphemous thoughts. The pilgrim in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress complained of it, didn't he? Until he was shown that it was the devil, he thought those thoughts were coming out of his own heart. But no, Satan was breathing them in. I know the Lord is nigh and would but cannot pray. Satan meets me when I try, drives my soul away. The temptation concerning the word of truth, concerning the person of Christ, concerning their own interest in him. Oh, what an affliction. And it's an affliction the poor sinner can't get free from. Oh, how powerful is the devil. That woman I mentioned in prayer, her daughter was vexed with him. And Legion was vexed with those evil spirits. And no man could tame that man because the evil spirits had control over him. He was an afflicted man. Oh, leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people. Oh, sometimes these people have to walk the path of affliction with regard to the unkindness of men also. Men under the influence of the devil, so it is in close connection with that affliction I just referred to, Satan directly. Oh, when this one desires to walk in the fear of God, and what an affliction it is for them when they are ridiculed for that, especially when they feel in their own hearts, well, I don't have any comfort in my religion, but I just cannot do what those people do. But because I cannot do what they do and what they want me to do, they persecute me. Now, this is one of the bitterest paths to walk in an outward sense, because as I say, this one may have no comfort from his religion at all, and yet he has this fear of God in his heart. And he is persecuted because of it, and afflicted, and poor people. Jesus said, didn't he, if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. And then they're afflicted in circumstances. Gideon said, didn't he, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this evil befallen us? And where be all his mighty miracles, which our fathers told us of? You think of a man like Joseph. We read in the psalm of his affliction. His soul came into iron. Until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Year past year, and he remains in that affliction. A poor and an afflicted people. And in connection with Joseph, of course, one thinks of Jacob. What an afflicted man he was with regard to his latter days especially. Before that deliverance, right at the latter end of his life, when he cried out in his affliction, Joseph is not, Simeon is not, and now you will take Benjamin away. All these things are against me. Now in connection with that affliction, the enemy takes advantage of it. While they say daily in my soul, where is now thy God? The devil says, if you're a child of God, this wouldn't have happened to you. Now that's an affliction to a child of God, because that's the greatest question anyone can put. If you were a child of God, And it's a question he has in his own heart. If I'm a child of God, Rebecca said, if I am, why am I thus? An afflicted and poor people. Spiritual poverty. Again, a gracious evidence of the truth that this one is indeed a child of God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, said the Lord Jesus. They have the spirit of the Lord Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for his people's sakes became poor, that they through his poverty might be made rich. They are poor in spirit because they have the grace given them in some measure to know where they really are and what their real need is and what they really are without. What are they without? They are without any life of their own. Ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The poverty of being without life. Or do I speak to one here this evening, and that is how you've gone about your things today? Feelingly poor. There's no sign of life whatever as you see it. And yet that is a sign of life that you feel your death, but you can't say that's something that satisfies you. Oh, poor. Oh, if there was life, you say, there'd be hope. Because the Lord's people are living people, but I am so dead. Like that pile of dry bones that Ezekiel saw in his vision. And lo, they were very dry. Oh, if there was a desire, you say, there'd be hope. But if one good wish could purchase heaven, I could not to that wish aspire. There is the poverty. They have no righteousness. They are completely wrong. Not one right thing. Oh, what a point this is. When they had nothing to pay. You see, very often, the Lord in his working in his people, he doesn't bring them immediately to this complete poverty. He, as it were, leads them step by step. He does to them what is set forth in the case of that woman who was rendered penniless through going round all the other physicians. Then she had nothing. So when this poor sinner, and this is how the Lord makes them poor. Why he makes them to know what is needful. They need faith. They need that repentance. They need to be brought to Christ. They need to have that righteousness. They need washing. They need that salvation from sin. And perhaps in the beginning, or as that one goes along, they think, oh, I'll pray for this. Thinking they can. Thinking they've got the prayers to do what they say they will do. The will to do what they say they will do. But the Lord leads them on and makes them to prove they can no more pray than they can fly. They know they need repent. When they see their sins, they say to themselves and say to God in effect, I will repent of my sin. I won't sin like that anymore. Wasn't it John Kershaw who went as far as to say, Lord, if I go to the race course again, thou mayest damn me. He was called by grace. That was a living child of God that said that. But he didn't know his poverty. He was like Peter. Though all men deny thee, yet will not I. He was on the old ground of covenant. The old covenant, not the new covenant, the old covenant of works. And what a poor thing is a man when he's under the covenant of works. He can't put himself under the covenant of grace. Well, John Kershaw, the Lord so ordered things, not that he should hold John Kershaw to his word and damn his soul. He couldn't do that. John Kershaw was bound up in the bundle of life with the Lord. He had that salvation, like the woman says, right square at both ends. Chosen in Christ, redeemed by Christ, finally persevering through the final perseverance of Christ. But there's no room for John Kershaw in that salvation. If your salvation is like that woman's, right square at both ends, God at the beginning, God all the way through, and God at the end, there's no room for you in it. And that's the poverty. That's the poverty. John Kershaw went to the race course. Oh, the trouble now. The devil says, you said he can damn you. Damned you must be. But was he? No. No, not because of John Kershaw's vow. But he's poor now, isn't he? Lord, I've said if I did that, thou mayest damn me. Where is he? What has he got? What has he got to plead? He hasn't got his faithfulness to plead, has he? No, God shows him John Kershaw will be saved by the faithfulness of God. Not the faithfulness of John Kershaw. Poor, afflicted and poor. The great debt and nothing to pay it with. Nothing to pay it with. The great need and nothing to meet it. The great work that needs doing and no strength at all to do the very least part of it. This is the poverty. The favour of God needed and no merit to obtain that favour. Perhaps this one thought, well, yes, I have sinned greatly, but there's this good about me and that good about me. I haven't done that. And I've got a tender heart. Oh, the Lord will show you haven't. And when you haven't got a tender heart, you can't plead that, can you? When everything you've brought, as it were, before God and in your thoughts hung upon, the thing, money is a defence, says the word of God. Money is a defence. You know that's a snare even in natural things. It's a snare again, which works against this trust in this text. You see, where you've got a good bank balance, you could look upon some trouble coming, some damage being done to your property, some loss. And you can think to yourself, well, if that happens, I've got that money in the bank. Money is a defence. But when a poor sinner is bankrupt, when they haven't got anything there, oh, how they are dependent upon the Lord to preserve a roof over their head, how they are dependent upon the Lord to give them this, that they need to continue day by day because, Lord, I haven't got anything to fall back on. But what are they caused to fall back on? Not to fall back upon, but venture wholly upon. I know the Lord's people may be given to see things differently regarding insurance, but I often think of what John Berridge said. He said, my insurance policy is in heaven. Just like William Huntington, he had the bank of faith. a poor and afflicted, but I've rather wandered. I was trying to speak of the spiritual, but you see, these temporal things, they can't be separated. The poor, nothing. Nothing, no good deeds. A poor and afflicted and a poor people. No merit. I haven't got anything to put forward before God. Well, let us try and come to this last characteristic that the Holy Spirit gives to these people. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. They shall. They shall. Not because they've got in themselves the power to trust. That's part of the poverty. They haven't in themselves got the power to trust. And that's when you're really brought to trust in the name of the Lord, when you're bankrupted of creature faith. Oh, what a thing it is. Do I speak to one here this evening and this is your poverty? I can't trust in the Lord. I don't believe in him. Well, I don't know whether I've mentioned here, but I probably have. It'll bear repetition. What Jonathan Rankin Anderson said. If you don't come to Christ as an unbeliever, you'll never come as a believer. Blessed be his dear name. This name of the Lord, it is such a blessed name. It is a name above every name. His Father has given him that name, Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. Not he might, if they do their part. Not he might, if they will that he do. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now what is it that causes these people to trust in the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is proclaimed to them. If I can turn to it, Isaiah. Can't turn to it, but the word I have in mind is that where the Lord says, therefore they should know in that day that I am he that does speak. Behold, it is I. They should know my name. They should know my name. Now it is the making known of his name by the Lord that causes these people to trust in that name. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, that name, Jesus. For he shall save their people, his people, from their sins. And what is it to trust in that name? Oh, it is in hearing that name to be brought to venture your hold upon him. That's trusting. This trusting is the single eye the Saviour spoke of. If thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Now why must the eye be single? Why will the eye be single? It's because it's given by God. When God works, and you see this is what a poor sinner may and shall be brought to trust in, the name of the Lord is the working God, the miracle working God. Behold, it is I, Almighty God. I'll leave in the midst of thee this poor and afflicted people that can do nothing right before God, and who are so sinful and corrupt, and who have nothing. Will a dead God do for them? No. If this person is healthy and got a lot of money, a dead god will do for them. Any other dead gods that their flesh or any other men in this world make, you'll do for them. A god that has eyes but never sees, a hands that never works, a mouth but never speaks, feet but never moves, it'll do for them. But when a poor sinner is poor and afflicted, they need the living God. Now that's the name of the Lord. Paul says, doesn't he, if we have been reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more shall we be saved by his life. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Oh, the name of the Lord. It is that name which is above every name. It is an infinite name. No one will ever be able to fully preach Christ. Human tongues are dumb at best. We must die to speak of Christ. Why? Because Christ is an infinite person. His love is beyond measure. His grace, amazing, boundless. All that love, he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. In that name is the truth, that while his people were yet sinners, he died for them. In that name is the truth that his blood, which is the blood of the Son of God, because the manhood which he took completely into union with himself. So it is the blood of the Son of God. It cleanseth from all sin. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. This name they're brought to trust in. And you see, what is that trust? In that trust, why, there's a pleading in that name. Oh, have you ever been brought to plead the name of Jesus? Not just put it on the end of your prayers, but from the very beginning of your prayers, by living faith, to ask, realizing God cannot give you anything but death, except through his dear Son. But through his dear Son he can give you life. Through his dear Son he can pardon you. Through his dear Son he can give you a soft heart. Through his dear Son he can justify you. He can make you right. He can deliver you from all yourself and your sin and all those afflictions. You see, this name of the Lord, that name doesn't proclaim that the afflicted will be left afflicted, does it? I am the Lord that healeth thee. That healeth thee. Now, if you're found really trusting in that name, it's not, oh, may the Lord deliver us from that wretched formality that can say, what a poor sinner I am, but oh, the Lord Jesus is a wonderful Saviour. Now that's not trusting in that name. To trust in that name will be to plead with him to save you and not give him any rest until he save you. Because this single eye, oh, how we need the double eye found out by God. Because if you have a single eye, you can't possibly be content until you get a look from his eye into your soul. Until you get an application of his blood to your sin-stained conscience. Till you get a smile from him. This Lord, this name of the Lord, as I said just now, it's not a dead Lord. It's a living Lord. It's not a Lord that's dependent upon you to do anything. It's not a Lord that merely resides on the page of the Word of God. He's the Lord who is at the right hand of his Father in heaven, ever living to make intercession. It's the Lord who's commanded by his Father to open his mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Now, who are we really trusting in tonight? If we're really poor and afflicted people, that is, if we really realise we're dying sinners, if we really realise our sins make us to deserve hell, if we really realise that sin is a truly miserable thing, if we really realise that no one can help us but the Lord, if we realise we can't help ourselves, if we realise only He can give us peace, He's the Prince of Peace. Now, if we trust in the Prince of Peace, we won't have peace from any other one but from Him. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord doesn't say, He saves rich people. He says He saves poor. He doesn't say He saves healthy people. He said, they that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And He says, He can heal all sicknesses. He says, Him that cometh to Me, I will in no wise cast out. Why, they should trust in the name of the Lord to give them that faith they don't have, to break that hard heart they can't break themselves. Oh, to bless them with that repentance that they are so lacking. They should trust in the name of the Lord. This name of the Lord is the name of Him who, in coming to His people, makes Himself their salvation. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. Trust speaks of a putting of confidence in one before that which they look to Him for is done. And that is always how it is in the salvation of sinners. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things from Me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Now these that trust in Him, they cannot perish. It will never be said, here's a soul that perished suing for the Saviour's boasted aid. But in the name of the Lord is set forth that He will do everything for that one that they need. Everything in time. Your providential things. You'll realise your poverty and your afflicted state regarding those things. What a mercy it is concerning the steps we take in life to realise our poverty and our affliction, that we can't make the right decision, that we don't know what's right. What a mercy it is in those difficulties to realise our poverty and affliction. We haven't the wisdom to handle this. Psalm 107, they come to their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saveth them out of their distresses. A poor and an afflicted people. Oh, in the church of God, Paul may plant, Apollos may water. Paul isn't rich enough to command the blessing. Paul isn't strong enough to make sinners' hearts break. Paul isn't strong enough to bring sinners to Christ. They shall trust in the name of the Lord who says they shall come. They shall come and declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. And they shall trust in the name of the Lord. This trust is communion. Oh, it is because the Lord speaks to this one that they brought to trust, especially when he gives them a promise. And in those promises that he speaks, his name is in it. You see, there's the difference between a word just coming to you and the Lord speaking it to you. Perhaps you may be troubled. Well, how may I know whether that word has just come to me, just come into my mind, or whether the Lord has spoken it to me? Well, what effect does it have? If the Lord has spoken it to you, you don't just take that word and, as it were, put it in the cupboard and bring it out and tell people, oh, the Lord said this to me and the Lord said that to me. The Lord puts the word in your heart. It's not like something put away in the cupboard. It's something you have to plead with him. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. They shall trust in the name of the Lord to do as he has said. And if you're trusting in the name of the Lord, you're not going about trying to do what he has promised to do, because you're made to feel you can't do it. They shall trust. In that trust, there's a watching for the fulfillment of it. And in this way, there is that communion. They should trust. He says, put me in remembrance. Remind me of that promise I've spoken. Remind me of that. Prove me now herewith, he said, if I'll not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. And they shall trust. A naked venture. They shall trust. Emptied of self. The trusting sinner is the one that goes out of self. Oh, he doesn't look to his own goodness or his own badness. He brings his own badness to him who promises to save bad sinners. And he looks to that good promise. He looks to that good, blessed person in whom all the promises are yea and amen. He looks to that finish. You see, the name of the Lord is the name of him who said, it is finished. Nothing can be added to it. Nothing should be taken from it. They should trust. There isn't anything too hard for this one to do. There isn't anything too small that this one will do for his people that they need. There isn't anything too great. Was there anything that this people needed that the Lord said, I'll not stoop that low? He took the form of a servant as an illustration of it, but he did more than that. He became a worm. He was made sin. He made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. This name of the Lord is the name of the once crucified, now risen, exalted, ascended Saviour. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. Oh, this poor sinner has got to die. In that dread moment, oh, to hide beneath thy sheltering blood. Twill Jordan's icy waves divide, lamb my soul with God. These all died in faith. That will be said of all these poor afflicted people in the text. They should trust in the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is the name of him who once died Oh, and that death, the vanquisher's death. You know, none of us really understand what death is. The Saviour does. The Saviour tasted death. Only he could. Only he could taste death for his people. That is, he endured that hell due to each one of his people's sins. And he drank that cup to the very dregs. The cup that my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? There was no one with him. Oh, what a name to trust in for a poor sinner who's so poor and afflicted. He realizes he's just like those disciples. One of them denies him with oaths and curses, but the others weren't much better. They all forsook him and fled. But the Saviour went on. They should trust in the name of the Lord. Now, if you are favoured with this trust, that trust is a humbling thing. If somebody talks to you, or if we speak, if we profess to trust in the Lord, and there's pride in our heart while we're saying that, it's vain. This trust in the Lord, oh, poor sinner, mercifully having, by the gracious enabling of God, enabled to put his trust in God, to save him out of the goodness of his heart, to save a rebel who can't do anything but rebel. A rebel who can't do anything. A sinner who has run the score to lengths extreme. To trust in him who came down from heaven and was made man. Made man. And became a worm, as he puts it in Psalm 22. Obeyed the law for those who wouldn't. Paid a penalty for those. Further, the goodness of his blessed, infinite, divine heart. Where is the room for pride in that trust? When you're having to trust only in his goodness, when you're having to trust only in his mercy, and what a separating grace this is. They shall trust in the name of the Lord. Just close with that word. It came to me just before I stood up. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And the hymn says, doesn't it? When we trust thee, truly happy, then we are. There's a quietness affected by it. Because in that trust, the sinner has his eye on Christ. And that's the only object that can really quieten and bring peace to a poor sinner. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker is expected to preach next Lord's Day in the evening. And Mr. Hadley is expected to preach next Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 158. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. May I sit forever viewing mercy's streams in streams of blood, precious drops my soul bedewing, plead and claim my peace with God. 158.
Thank you.
to forgive all that one has spoken amiss. Do bless thy own word. May it remain with us, keep us safe. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.